This is Susan Costello. I was born in December of 1952 near Lima, Peru. My father was a 35-year-old anthropology graduate student doing research and a World War II veteran. My mother was a 26-year-old English major graduate of Syracuse University. After I was born, my mother and I stayed 6 more months in Peru and then went up to my grandmother and aunt's house in Syracuse, New York. My father stayed in Peru another year, then joined us and we moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts. I did not remember that I'd spent much of my babyhood in the Syracuse house later on. In later times when we would drive up to visit them, I'd feel so excited and thrilled, and nearing the driveway almost beside myself with joy. I enjoyed the visits thoroughly. I also did not know I'd been separated from my father in those early years. When he dropped me off once to visit my grandmother and aunt because I was old enough to do so, I felt the horrifying pain of separation at his departure. My first memories take place in a big apartment, the fourth and top floor of a big house in Brookline, Massachusetts. Each floor, including the basement, was an apartment. There were happy times in my childhood, but I was unhappy a lot of the time. I had strong impressions, such as that the panda teddy bear and the brown armchair were my father, that they were synonymous with him somehow, because they held his energy. I was curious about what things were made of, and I think the question was both spiritual and physical. What is the spiritual explanation and material of stuff, and what exactly are all these physical materials? My mother's explanations were unsatisfactory. Apparently, I had a visitation while we lived there. I may have been 3 or 4. The experience imparted to me the explanation and reassurance of why I was here on Earth. The memory of that was absolutely present and important for me for years afterward. Jesus said through David to me a few years ago, "We came to you in your youth." We moved to Winchester, Massachusetts, to our first house in a semi-rural neighborhood. Behind our house was a bank with blueberry shrubs on it, with a stone path into the woods. There was a lovely clearing to which I used to go regularly, enjoying the peace and beauty. I didn't realize then how special that was. In those days, I tended to see myself from above, but I later broke myself of that habit. We moved to Leonia, New Jersey. Children in those days used to ask each other, "What religion are you?" My parents didn't have a religion. And when I asked my mother what I was to say, she said, "Oh, say we're non-religious." Well, that was a long word to me, and I knew another word, which was atheist. I told a few kids when they asked me that that's what I was. I'm glad I think they didn't really know what that word meant, because if they had gone home and told their parents that, I think we would have had trouble. I did attend Methodist Sunday school for a year, and I enjoyed that a lot. And we did celebrate Christmas at home. My mother put a lot of effort into that. Then we moved to Metuchen, New Jersey, and then to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. As an adolescent, I found myself having a spiritual awakening, but I'm pretty secretive about that, too. Thoughts and impressions were opening and changing my mind. Questions and answers were raging through me, and I was virtually silent for months. I heard the word hierarchy in my mind, and it obsessed me. I realized our planet and its activities were being observed. I maintained a desire to explore yoga through high school, but didn't pursue it until afterward. I had a habit of doing 2 hours a day. Under a friend's influence, I made passages from the Quran my scriptural reading. After high school, I bounced between my mother's house and friends' homes in the Midwest. My high school friend asked me if I would join her family. It seemed to mean a lot to her, and she was sure it would be more meaningful than what I was doing. So I did. I remained in that situation, which started in Milwaukee and then moved to Las Vegas, Nevada for 23 years. At the beginning of my stay, my friend instructed me to read books she had by Ruth Montgomery and Gina Sermonara. These removed my qualms about the afterlife. With my new family, I attended a meeting of Ekankar. We would attend Muslim functions, Eids, conferences, prayer gatherings, although we were rather reclusive. While in Milwaukee, My co-wife and I once said to our husband, "Take us to the psychic store. Readings are free today." So we went, and the psychic was amazed to see around us that there were high masters. And she said she never had seen so many high masters around any people. Later in Las Vegas, at a time when I was doing Salat, Muslim prayer, consistently, I stumbled upon a series of channeled books, the first of which is called Right Use of Will. These were life-changing, and I remained in awe and contemplation of them for a few years, always waiting for the next title to come out. I also made it a habit to go to the library and look at the spiritual section. I was surprised to see that healing and spirituality are so entwined. I became very interested in healing. I found there the Urantia book and OASPI. I also read about all the forms of alternative healing. I have an abiding interest in homeopathics and flower remedies, as well as general health, diet, and supplements. Shopping at a health food store, I found the books Understanding Yourself and Alchemy, published by Summit Lighthouse. I bought them one at a time and read them, and once again was electrified, taken over, not myself anymore. The change took place a little at a time. First I read, then I tried out the decrees that were in those books. I dutifully did those for a while, feeling the pull of the Uncle Sam aspect of Saint Germain, I want you. I felt it very strongly. I was to do something. I finally figured out it was to do the decrees. Gradually, after I'd been decreeing about a year, I realized I felt altogether lighter than before. I realized this was what the decrees were about, in part. I made contact with the local group, and my group leader was kind and instructive. She saw to it that I attended my first conference, and we brought my youngest son of 10 children. He and I were baptized. Over time, I attended a few CUT conferences and events. A few years later, my group leader was concerned that there must be a messenger giving dictations, as Mother no longer was. She wondered about the Temple of the Presence. I became somewhat involved, though my group leader was more cautious. I did their decrees and attended their services online for a few years. I then discovered the Heart Center. It was so friendly and open. I have discovered much through the Heart Center. I've attended a number of conferences and events, both in person and online. I've acquired a treasure trove of knowledge, received blessings and clearances, memories and bonds with people that I treasure immeasurably.
Susan, thank you very much for your story.
You're welcome.
And I'm so glad you do come to conferences so we can meet you and talk with you in person. I thought it was very interesting that one of the first ways you found the teachings was through a health food store. That's where you found the books. And also it sounds like early on your path, when you said that healing was important, that also diet was important. And I myself also sort of was inspired with alternative means of healing, homeopathy, flower essences. So I think that's something a lot of us have in common, you know?
You know what I forgot to mention, that for a time I bumped into a theosophical library in Milwaukee, and I used to go there and take out the big heavy books. So I guess there are a lot of things in one's life that lead on to this.
I think it's really true, yes. And I was going to ask you, since you have been to multiple Heart Center conferences, is there anything that stands out particularly to you? It happened at one of the conferences or something special spiritually for you?
Yes. I'm thinking of one in Mount Shasta when, now I'd be guessing, I believe it was the Maha Chohan saying through David, "I'm taking away various veils from you. I'm taking away this one and I'm taking away that one." So that comes right to mind.
How very special. We certainly have gotten a lot of help on the path. And I have a question from Patricia for you.
Hi, I just want to say that I'm very impressed you slipped through that statement of one of 10 children. You have a tremendous mother flame. Would you comment on that?
Well, I guess at this point in my life, Patricia, I'm still a bit more conscious of my flaws as a mother, you know. But I guess I was kind of realizing last night as I was penning this that it's like all the children know that they matter to me a lot. I mean, I was reflecting on that, but as I say, it's so easy to only think of one's flaws and deficiencies.
It's such a gift to the earth to have you have brought in all these beautiful children. We are so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree, Susan. Thank you so much. And your mother flame does shine through coming to the conferences. I know one time I think I roomed with you, or at least was near you as a roommate, and I saw all the hangers that you brought to hang up all your clothes. So very organized. So thank you again, Susan. Thank you for being with us
thank
today.
You.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye.